Hello, and welcome to Prickly, a podcast from KJZZ's Politics Desk.
Thank you for listening. I'm Wayne Chutsky.
I'm Cameron Sanchez.
And I'm political editor Ben Giles. Today, we're here to talk about the partisan battle over Arizona's public nuisance laws. It's a relatively obscure area of law to most people that deals with otherwise legal issues that could impact public health and enjoyment. Think of, say, a big industrial operation near a neighborhood that's producing a lot of noise, smells, and raises concerns about contamination for nearby residents. Wayne, why is this public nuisance law a new focus for lawmakers?
Yeah, well, it's actually quite an old law. I did a little bit of a deep dive, and it actually traces back to like British common law before the United States even existed. And most states have some form of nuisance law now, but it really popped to the forefront after Attorney General Chris Mays took office because she's been using these laws to attack various entities that she thinks are a threat to the public. And probably the most famous one is her lawsuit against Fondamonte. That's the Saudi-owned agricultural operator that is pumping Arizona groundwater, using it to grow alfalfa that it's sending back to Saudi Arabia to, you know, feed farm animals over there.
Okay, so when it comes to this agricultural farm, what is the argument? What is Mays saying is a nuisance about this Saudi Arabian-operated farming operation?
Yeah, so the nuisance law stipulates a few different things that can create this public nuisance. And one of them is public health. Others are kind of like enjoyment or of the community or the ability to enjoy your property. So what Mays is saying is that pumping all this groundwater is doing a few things. It's causing the land to actually sink. It's depleting groundwater reserves that everyone else in the community relies on. So all of these things could kind of check a few of those boxes. You know, that's obviously a public health risk if you have no more access to water, and then you can't very well enjoy your property if you run out of water and can't live there anymore. So that's probably the most famous lawsuit she filed, but it's not the only one. Mays has also gone after a gravel mine in Chino Valley that was built like right next to a neighborhood. She argued, you know, the dust, the noise, the traffic, all of those things would do something similar. It would disrupt the well-being of this community that had been there for decades and decades. And then even more recently, she's contemplated using a similar lawsuit to go after this very notorious planned immigration detention facility that's in Surprise.
Cameron, this use of the public nuisance law, filing these like public nuisance lawsuits, have we seen this before? Is this kind of normal behavior from an attorney general in Arizona?
Not really. So Mays is taking a somewhat unprecedented approach here, and she's using it pretty broadly because it's a tool that the attorney general has available. So Arizona law specifically says that our attorney general can bring public nuisance cases to stop any kind of entity from doing something which is interfering with the health of a community, as Wayne mentioned. But we really haven't seen it used much before in this way. And usually when it is, it's with private actions, such as there was a Sun City developer who sued nearby cattle feeding operations because they were irritating the new residents. And the developer argued that everything that came with the operation, like the smell, the noise, was not compatible with the community. So Mays's office typically is representing political subdivisions, state agencies, and they are authorized to sue in specific cases. So she is using a tool from a limited toolbox.
And it's unorthodox is what I'm hearing. So what are her odds of winning in court then on these cases that are really uncharted territory, Wayne, for attorneys general?
Yeah, well, as Cameron laid out, it's really not clear. With that Fondamonte case, the one everyone knows about, her opponents say she doesn't have a case at all because of this thing called the Agriculture Protection Act we have in Arizona, which is designed to protect our agricultural operators, farms, all that kind of thing, and actually exempts them from certain state laws. And so they're basically saying this public nuisance lawsuit, you know, she can't sue them under that because they're protected by this other separate state law. And a lot of people think that that means that her lawsuit is kind of a stretch, and that includes these Republican lawmakers who are now coming after her, trying to rein in her nuisance power, and Fondamonte itself, and some other farms that failed but tried to get attached to that lawsuit, arguing that if Fondamonte moves forwards, they would be next.
We'll get to what Republican lawmakers at the state legislature are trying to do to like rein in these public nuisance lawsuits in a second. But first, Wayne, even if she's not winning in court, Has Mays been able to claim victory in at least some of these cases in another way?
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned with the gravel pit, she has gotten some settlements with these companies where it doesn't eventually end up being decided by a court, but the end game is the same. They got the gravel pit. It never moved forward. She reached another settlement with Riverview Dairy, which was another agriculture operator that was, you know, it was a water issue. Were they using too much water and how is that going to affect the surrounding community? So whether or not she's winning in court on these cases, you know, her supporters would argue that this is an effective use of the AG's bully pulpit in an attempt to rein in whether it's water use or other public nuisances that are affecting residents of Arizona.
And opponents, though, would say
they'd argue that it's the opposite, that the AG, you know, her job is to enforce the laws, and that if she's using lawsuits to kind of eventually circumvent the courts and force these private entities to do what she wants, that is kind of overstepping the bounds, overstepping the power of the office of the attorney general.
Interesting. So will Mays have a better chance of winning if she, say, files a lawsuit against the Department of Homeland Security to stop them from building a detention facility in Surprise? This is kind of a new venture for the attorney general, a little different from some of the lawsuits targeting agricultural operations that we've talked about so far.
Yeah, I would say not necessarily. And we're talking about novel cases here. You know, this law hasn't been used very much, and we don't really have a lot of precedent to rely on. I'd say this case is probably the most unknown because she's really kind of maybe stretching the interpretation to try and show that this ICE facility could, whether it threaten the public enjoyment or affect the local community because of things like light pollution from the facility, strain public safety response, put an undue strain on local infrastructure like wastewater by putting all these people in the community that weren't there before. And then there's a question of federal supremacy. You know, the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution basically says that federal law trumps state law. And so can she even use a state law to try and force the federal government to comply or to remove this facility? That is really an open question. So all of these things are really unanswered questions. We don't really know how the court would react to that. And then there's the question of, like, is this the right timing? The facility is not yet open. So can she prospectively sue under the nuisance law, or does she have to prove a nuisance exists after the facility is open? Now, we recently reported this facility could be open by the end of May, so then maybe she'll have the opportunity to sue on those grounds. But all that to say, a lot of really open questions about specifically this ICE facility and how a public nuisance lawsuit could come into play.
It's interesting that you raised these are all, at this point, theoretical or hypothetical nuisances, whereas in the Fondamonte case, the Saudi Arabian farming operation, at least there, Mays has some more concrete arguments to make about, you know, what an alleged nuisance this farming operation has been.
That's right. And yeah, she can point to the groundwater. That's, you know, she can point to the land sinking. Those are real concrete things that she can say, these are the nuisances that I believe are caused by this usage and why the court should say they have to stop. In all of these cases, though, they could end up being what we call test cases. So whether it's Fondamonte or the ICE facility, we don't have a lot of precedent. So how the court decides could determine how AGs use this law moving forward. And that's another reason that someone like Mays would bring something like this, is to set that precedent moving forward.
Gotcha. So, Cameron, let's get back to legislative Republicans not happy with the way Mays has been, you know, pursuing lawsuits under this public nuisance law. What have they been doing to try to put a stop to Mays?
This year, they introduced three bills which would sort of curb her power to file these public nuisance lawsuits in a couple of different ways. So one of those bills would make the attorney general liable for paying damages if they were to bring an unsuccessful public nuisance case. So that could definitely have a cooling effect on attorneys general or Mays going forward.
When you say Mays would be liable for paying damages, would that really be like Arizona taxpayers, I guess?
Yeah.
You know, it's the attorney general's office is liable, but who funds the attorney general's office? So can you kind of flesh that out a little bit?
Right. So us, the taxpayers, pay for the attorney general's office because it's a state entity. So really that would come down to taxpayers footing the bill for unsuccessful public nuisance lawsuits, which, again, you know, it could make the attorney general's office look bad. They probably wouldn't want to bring any cases unless they had 100% certainty that they were going to be successful, which is not always possible.
And what would damages in this case be? Like, let's hypothetical the Fondamonte farming operation. What damages could a private entity argue or incurred by defending themselves against a maize lawsuit?
I think definitely you'd be looking at a hefty amount of attorney's fees. So that's often what folks in these lawsuits ask for from the other side. The losing side is, you have to pay for our case. We had to hire all these lawyers and spend all of this time and effort fighting you, and it was baseless. So that's the first thing. And then, you know, depending on the situation, I don't know if Fondamonte would do this, but they could potentially say that she's damaged them by dragging their name through the public and making them look bad. So they could argue that she's harmed their enterprise.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. So that's just one bill, though. What are the other efforts?
Well, one of the other bills would require a county board of supervisors to sign off on Mays or any attorneys general filing a public nuisance lawsuit. So this would give some local control to these cases, or that's what the Republican lawmakers say. But again, it would sort of put another rock in the path of an attorney general who wants to file a case. They would have to go through this extra step. It would take more time. They would have to make sure that whichever board of supervisors in whichever county this is taking place is on side before they can move forward with the process. The third bill would make the attorney general liable for defamation for pursuing a public nuisance case, or even for talking about a public nuisance case in a certain way if it doesn't succeed. So again, similar to the first bill, I think the effort there is to dissuade the attorney general from doing this, and even to put kind of a clamp on what she is allowed to discuss from the position of her office. So if those bills succeed, they could definitely have a real impact on the precedent that Mays sets going forward and how the attorney general's office can operate.
So, Cameron, what's the status of this legislation working its way through the state capitol?
Those first two bills, the one that would make her liable for paying damages and the one that would require the approval from the county board of supervisors, those are still alive at the state capitol. They are moving through the process. But the third one, with the defamation, was not successful.
What happened with that bill? Why did that not continue moving along?
There were a handful of Republican lawmakers who were concerned that it was going to become maybe a free speech issue if they were limiting and punishing the attorney general for making statements or making claims.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Prickly Podcast from KJZZ's Politics Desk. And tune in to 91.5 to hear our coverage of elections, the ongoing legislative session, and more, or log on to kjzz.org.
And please subscribe to the Prickly Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.